You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, after 40 years on radio and TV in Michigan, I am retiring. My final show is right around the corner. Over the years, I have interviewed thousands of people, and there are some that I just really, really enjoy and really look forward to interviewing. And I find myself wishing I would love to get these folks together and just talk, maybe get to know them a little better, the way you get talking at a good dinner party. So two people on my favorite guest list are here with me today. Very familiar faces in politics, both in Michigan and in Congress. Dan Kildee of Flint is the Democratic congressman from Michigan's 5th District, first elected in 2012, right when we launched Stateside. He is now the chief deputy whip of the House of Representatives. Paul Hilligans is a West Michigan Republican. He served in the Michigan House of Representatives from 1979 until 1996. He was part of a very unique moment in Michigan history when he served as co-speaker of the House along with the late Democrat Curtis Hertel Sr. He's been president of Detroit Renaissance, director of government relations for DTE Energy, director of the Regional Transit Authority of Southeast Michigan. He's with the Michigan Health Endowment Fund. And thanks to both of you for coming to my dream dinner party.
Thank you.
I know we can pretend we're drinking wine even as we drink our bottled water. But I am forever fascinated by the paths that we take that can lead us places that perhaps we didn't expect to be. When I was in grade school and even high school, I thought I was going to be a physician and or a nun or perhaps both. Clearly, that didn't happen. Paul, when you were growing up in Holland, did you see yourself in a life of public service?
I didn't, although I was steered that way by my dad, who was a pastor, a chaplain at Hope College, and very engaged in social justice issues and made me very aware of the issues of the day. But I recently pulled out an old vocational booklet that I wrote for a citizenship class, and I was going to be a teacher, a psychologist, or a pastor.
Well, there you go. And I know you were actually, Dan, were the, am I right? You ran for office at a rather tender age?
Yes, I was 18 years old.
And I read that you were at that time one of the youngest people in the country elected to office.
I was. This was 1977, in the early 1970s when 18-year-olds were given the right to vote. There was a bit of a rush of very young people running for public office and many, many for boards of education. I mean, obviously, in some ways, the only, maybe most relevant role that a very young person could have. And so I had sort of grown up in a political family, was, enamored of politics as a kid, grew up sort of observing the 60s as a very young person. Mm-hmm. And felt like I didn't want to wait. And, I got elected to the school board when I was really, really young. I'm really glad it was the pre-digital era because the pictures wouldn't be so good.
They wouldn't be so good. when you think about what it takes to be elected, to be a politician, so you're out, you are putting yourself out there, you are knocking on doors, you are making yourself available to people. Did that come easily at first to you when you decided to run for office?
It did not. I've always been a bit of an introvert, so I've wondered, how did I get involved in politics? But my interest really developed when I was a student at the University of Michigan during the 60s. I was a protester. I like to tell my Republican friends the first national convention I attended was as a protester in Chicago in 68.
There's some history.
But the life-changing experience for me was being an intern at the University of Michigan's Washington internship program. And I worked for Congressman Marvin Esch and then ended up with a job with Congressman Phil Rupi, both moderate Republicans. Mm-hmm. Who shaped my interest in politics in a very moderate way and encouraged me to think about running one day. And so it was really that desire to serve in the end more than wanting to knock on doors. But I did it.
That was the price you had to pay to be able to serve. How about you, Dan? I mean, and you were young as you were campaigning initially.
Yeah, I mean, I was really young, almost too young to know any better in a lot of ways. I don't know if I had been a little bit older if I'd have made the choice to run for public office. But I was.
Why is that?
Well, because, it's not all it's cracked up to be. I mean, it's not it looks glamorous, I know, from the outside, and particularly in the job, you know, that I have right now, being members of Congress, people think, you know, it's lunch at the Palm, and, you know, everything is really wonderful. It's a, we can't complain about these jobs, but it's a really tough life. It's not one that I would choose for one of my kids. And like Paul, I'm not naturally outgoing. People think we are because we have to develop the skill to be able to communicate and to speak publicly and to communicate ideas effectively. But many people that I know, myself included, in public office, were generally a little more shy, a little more reserved personally. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I don't think it's a natural role for many people to play. You just have to do it in order to be effective at it, and so you overcome that.
So the greater good of being able to do public service outweighs the awkwardness you might feel knocking on some stranger's door.
Yeah, that part. Mm. That part's tough.
The other thing I've always wondered about is what it's like election night waiting as returns come in.
Oh,
look at the face. Look at the face.
It's tough.
What does it feel like?
I mean, I don't know if there's anything that compares to it, but it is there's a lot of anxiety. Even in elections, I don't know if this has been your experience, where everyone else says that the outcome is predetermined. Everyone says, what do you have to worry about? It's in the bag. There's this one guy I know from Saginaw. He says, Dan, it's in the bag. If it's your name on the ballot, you know, you're anxious. You're always anxious because it's not natural to have the public offer a referendum on you as a person. That is a tough thing to go through.
Yeah, what about you, Paul?
I feel the same way. The memories of election night are not always happy memories, even though they might have been election victories. You work so hard during a campaign, and you put so much of yourself into it, and it really does feel like a referendum on you very personally. More than maybe the issues of the day or the political environment. You take it personally.
What were you not prepared for, Paul, once you got to the state capitol, your brand new legislator, and there you are representing your district in Lansing? What surprised you? What weren't you prepared for?
I entered the legislature during one of the downtimes in the Michigan economy, and I wasn't prepared for the conflict between wanting to support, for example, a tax increase to deal with a recession and a district that was overwhelmingly opposed. That dilemma of do you need to represent your district and or should you vote your conscience? And I found that over time, and this is the tragedy of term limits in Michigan, over time, as you get to build trust with your constituency, that decision-making becomes easier because there's more trust in the decision you make, even though constituents may not agree with it. But early on, that was the dilemma I wrestled with a lot.
Oh, boy. And I know, Dan, you took your Uncle Dale's seat, so you weren't unfamiliar. It was in the family, but there you are. It's your turn. You're the one sitting in that seat.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tough role. I think I don't know if this was a surprise, but to fully realize the extent to which, in order to get anything done, you have to be willing to disappoint people. Leadership, this is something that I learned later on in life from one of my favorite professors, but that I learned it in real terms. Leadership is the act of disappointing your own supporters at a rate they can absorb. If you want to get something done, if you actually want to advance the ball, you've got to be able to not just get to the front of every parade and pretend you're leading it, but tell your supporters things they don't want to hear. Tell them the hard things. Tell them that we're not going to get everything we want, but in order to make progress, we're going to accept this compromise and we're going to live to fight another day. It would seem that it's always your opposition that you're irritating, but very often the people that you irritate the most are the people who helped get you where you are and now don't want to hear you tell them that they have to accept something less than the perfect solution that you talked about during the campaign.
Because there are no perfect solutions, are there?
No, and I assume that talking about compromise is more difficult these days
Very hard.
Than it was 18, 20 years ago.
It really is.
If you've just joined us, we're having one of my dream dinner conversations, dinner party conversations, as we speak with Congressman Dan Kildee of Flint and the former co-speaker of the Michigan House and Speaker of the House, Paul Hiligans, who served in the Michigan House from 79 to 96. Getting criticized is part of the job, and you just kind of wonder where we go. In fact, it was interesting. The Detroit Free Press recently had a big, big piece from USA Today's Susan Page digging into a new survey done of American attitudes, and 83% of people say gridlock and divisiveness in politics are a big problem for this country. But a very high percentage of Republicans, Democrats, and independents also believe there is more common ground between us than the media or politicians say. What does that say to you about how we encourage less toxic public debate? What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, that's very true. And I think one of the frustrations that I have is that the impression of gridlock is greater than the reality of it. Now, it is true on the big questions, the sort of divisiveness, red versus blue, does get in the way. But I do have to find some reassurance that on a certain level, there's a lot more collegiality than people know.
Where is that?
Well, I mean,
tell people what would surprise us.
Like, even in Congress, I shouldn't say, it's a terrible way to start. Even in Congress, some of my closer friendships are with people who, on a regular basis, I walk over to the floor of House and we cancel one another's votes out. I'll give you an example. John Molinar. John and I are friends. Like, we would be friends if we weren't in Congress. We chat with one another. We talk about family. We have an annual bet over the congressional baseball game. We don't mind one another's company. And from time to time, we've been able to work together on issues where we actually agree. John, for example, helped me when I needed a Republican ally on the Flint water crisis. John stepped up, and he and I did that work together. Hardly anybody knows that. Unless I talk about it, nobody knows it. And while that is not the predominant sort of dynamic in Washington, it's a reminder that it's possible. And that why is it that we can work together on something that for me was as big an issue as I was ever going to face, Flint? Why can't we translate that to these bigger questions? And I think, you know, that's obviously because there are forces that don't want us to. But on a level, and that's just one example. You know, we're all just human beings trying to do a job. We have much more in common, far more in common than what divides us. But we are reinforced by interests that benefit from us being at one another's throats all the time. Compromise? You get penalized for compromise if you do it too much by party leadership or by other interests. And we have to be willing to kind of work through that, I think.
And your point in history when you shared the speakership with Curtis Hertel Sr., tell us, I mean, that, could that happen today?
I'm not sure it could in the current environment. It's not that we didn't. When the voters saddled us with 55-55 split in the House, it's not that Curtis and I didn't try for a couple of months to find a traitor to give us the majority. When that didn't work, we were forced to sit down together. And maybe that would happen today. What I think would have been hard or would be hard today is to retain that shared leadership spirit after we made that initial agreement. And what we experienced in that 2 years was the best 2 years of my 18 in the House because we learned to share agendas. We learned to talk every week about what we wanted to put on a committee agenda or the House floor. And we learned to trust each other and work together well. And compromise was absolutely necessary. The math required it. And the interesting thing is that there would be survey research every couple of years on voter trust in the legislature. Our numbers were never higher in the 18 years. The public wanted that kind of cooperation. And so I think a lot about why not today? Social media, how we get our news, money in politics. But when all is said and done, a lot of this is determined in primaries with only 15 or 20% of the electorate turning out to vote.
I mean, we get the government that the public provides us. And I think the missing element is the higher level, a higher degree of engagement by citizens. Now, we have to take some responsibility for the disengagement, those of us who are in office. But the solution has to come from much more engaged electorate.
Why would someone want to run for elected office? What would you do? What would you say to someone who is on the other side of where you once stood, considering that run? Why would someone want to run?
Well, there are a lot of reasons not to, and it's easy. We don't have to list those, right? It's a way to expose your family to all sorts of criticism. It's a life that is sometimes difficult and it's frustrating. But the reason to do it, the reason I did it 42 years ago, is the same reason I do it now. It's an opportunity to try to do something to help people in your community, to do something to make it a better world, to create policy that, you know, that makes a difference in the lives of people who are less fortunate. And every chance we get to do that, we can do it in this world. Now, we can do it in lots of different roles. You could have done it as a pastor, as sure. a teacher, in whatever role you thought you might land in. And in public service, you do it with a different set of tools at your behest. I've always said I've never changed business cards. I've only changed business cards. I've never changed jobs. It's always the same thing. You're just trying to do something to advance, you know, the people that you care about, advance their interests.
For those who are considering running for office, it's not only the chance to be a part of problem solving and to leave a state or a country better places, but it's an opportunity to work in a very diverse group of people who have a lot of different interests and much to learn from. I learned so much in my years in the legislature about issues that I hadn't even thought about from people with different perspectives. I learned how to problem solve with people of having different perspectives. And that was so fulfilling. And some of my best friendships today are people I never would have met or lived with in a community. You know, one of the tragedies today is we're so segregated by race, by income, and we don't have those opportunities. In a legislative body, you have it all.
Yeah.
Well, I know we have to let our congressman catch your favorite part of the job, right? Flying from D.C.
That's right.
Well, Congressman Dan Kildee and former Michigan House Speaker Paul Hiligans, thank you so very much for being generous enough to come in here and help me mark my final week with another Dream Dinner conversation.
Thank you for your service.
Ah, thank you.
Yes, you made a huge difference for a long time. And I'm sure in other ways you'll continue to.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Cindy.